Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sitnell-Reed, and our guests this week, Angelica Otwell and Betty Bennett. Each week at this time, we visit with people connected with the writing world and the world of stories in our region. We interview authors and poets, editors and publishers, journalists and storytellers. We get a glimpse into their creative lives, find out what inspires them, and give you an opportunity to hear their work. This week, we're delighted to welcome Angelica Otwell and Betty Bennett. Welcome, Angelica. Betty.
Well, hello.
Angelica Otwell is a Trouberitz, a trained singer, harpist, and oral storyteller who performs music and stories for all ages, combining the art of storytelling with music and weaving the two seamlessly together. Her story repertoire includes medieval tales, folk and fairy tales, Greek myths, historical stories, and anecdotes. As past president of the Ontario Folk Harp Society, Angelica has presented concerts and workshops throughout Ontario and at the International Harp Conference in Indiana. Betty Bennett is a retired librarian who discovered her second adulthood through telling stories. She is now a professional storyteller who tells across genres, including folk tales, fairy tales, and personal stories. Betty has presented workshops on storytelling for the Peterborough and Ottawa Storytellers and has told stories in numerous schools, libraries, service clubs, and seniors groups. Her recent performance venues with Angelica have included Brockville, Marmarah, Lakefield, Brighton, and Peterborough. In addition to storytelling, Betty takes part in a number of volunteer activities, including membership on the West Bend Festival Theatre Fundraising Committee. Betty and Angelica will be performing with the Peterborough Storytellers on World Storytelling Day on Sunday, March 20th. The storytelling concert will take place at the Clock Tower Cultural Centre in Campbellford. The concert will also be presented on Friday, March 18th in Peterborough. The other members who will be taking part are Rita Grimaldi, who will be telling stories in Mask, Don Herald, Robert Morton, and Tori Owen, oboe and recorder player. I'd like to start by asking you, Betty, about the art of storytelling. How is storytelling relevant today, and why is it still an art form that speaks to adults?
When you think about it, we're surrounded by stories, Gwyn. Sometimes when I'm telling at seniors' lunches, I ask why they've decided to stay and listen to stories instead of going home and watching their favorite afternoon TV program. And yet, the afternoon TV programs like Oprah and the others are all about stories. Stories about people's challenges and their struggles and how they've met them, and sometimes how they've failed to meet them. And many of the stories we were told as children, the fairy tales and folk tales, are also about challenges or quests and how the hero or heroine use their strategies in order to succeed or overcome some difficulty. I think they help us to see things with new eyes. A well-told story is an evocative but entertaining way of passing on a moral lesson and, as well, cultural traditions and history. They help us to see things from a different point of view, especially when they come from cultures other than ours. It's probably one of the oldest arts in the world.
So tell us something about World Storytelling Day itself. How and when did it start?
World Storytelling Day started as a national day of storytelling as part of a cultural festival in Sweden in the early 1990s, and it was always held around the time of the spring equinox, so around March 20th, 21st. The Swedish festival event was discontinued after a time, but the concept was taken up in other countries. Around 2001, a Scandinavian storytelling network, Rattatosk, was started up, and the idea spread throughout all of Scandinavia, and in 2003 it spread to Canada. Since then, World Storytelling Day has spread throughout the world.
So on Storytelling Day, is it always the same stories, or do they change it up and have different themes, or how does that work?
There's always a common theme throughout the world, although groups don't have to stick with that. The themes chosen by storytellers on a two-year basis, so we know what next year's theme will be as well, and it's an online poll at the World Storytelling website. 3 years ago, when Peterborough Storytellers first participated in World Storytelling Day, the theme was fate and fortune. We partnered with the New Canadian Centre in Peterborough, and as you can imagine, there were several very riveting stories that people brought about the circumstances that brought them to Canada from their homelands.
So this year, I believe the theme is Strong Women and Brave Girls, with the subtitle Feisty Females in Fable, Fact, and Folklore. Angelica, how easy or difficult was it to find stories on this theme of strong women? It is an issue, women not being featured as heroes or heroines. One study that I heard about actually studied about 4,000 fairy tales and folk tales and found that only about 167 of them featured women as courageous and resourceful. And yet the stories are there. For instance, if you look at mythology, you'll find that the Greek goddesses are really, really powerful. But, of course, since most societies up to now have really discriminated against women, the women in the stories really have to rely on their strength of character or their wits or their inner resources to exercise power. And, of course, sometimes the heroines are also familiar with the magical arts.
That sounds intriguing. Can you give us some examples?
Well, of course, one prime example is Scheherazade from the 1001 Arabian Nights. She escapes being executed by her sultan husband by telling him a story every night and then delaying the ending until the next evening. Actually, in our concert, we feature some wonderful stories. Robert Morton is going to be telling the biblical story of Esther, and Rita Grimaldi, who is a mask maker, has a delightful story from Finland called The Mouse Bride. But a mouse with some amazing qualities. And then our feature story, which will be a group telling, is about a woman who has all the qualities we could associate with a hero. She's courageous, loyal, resourceful, cunning, a talented singer and harpist, and she has a knowledge of the magical arts.
Well, magical arts sounds fascinating, but not exactly feisty. So are you including historical figures as well?
Yes, I'm actually telling the biography of Eleanor of Aquitaine, who was the wife of Henry II of England and the mother of King Richard the Lionheart. She actually waged a war against her husband and in the end outlived him. And I ought to be singing a ballad, a humorous ballad, about how she dispatched one of her husband's mistresses. And I think that's pretty feisty.
And what about you, Betty? What story will you tell?
Well, I'm looking at two possibilities. I haven't finally decided yet. The first story might be the true story of Charlie Parkhurst, who was a historical figure from the American Gold Rush days. And Charlie successfully lived her life disguised as a man and a stagecoach driver without anyone suspecting. Or it may be a story from Lapland, from the Sami people, about a mother who mentors her abandoned daughter from the spirit world. The story is interesting because in many cultures it's the women who have the wisdom of the natural world and the techniques of living sustainably, which is very relevant today.
Well, I would hope that the concert was long enough to hear them both. Well, I know that our listeners would love to hear one of your stories, or at least part of one. Will you perform for us today, and who is going to perform first?
Well, I have a little story that has nothing to do with World Storytelling Day, but it's a story from Prince Edward Island, and I told it at a Cayley fairly recently. So many of the good stories are about weddings and deaths, and this particular story is about a burial. When Pat O'Shea cast off this mortal coil on a cold January day, some four generations ago, he left poor Mrs. O'Shea and their four darling children in the direst of poverty. For Pat, you see, was a charming rogue, but he cared more about supporting his local alehouse than his own growing family. A cheap homemade casket was hastily assembled and daubed liberally with lampblack so as not to offend the eyes of the mourners. Corpse and casket were hoisted on the back of an old sled that would convey Pat to his final resting place. The mourners and neighbors would follow behind on foot. It was decided that Pat should be buried in a cemetery some 12 miles to the east, near a place called Big Woods, PEI. Imagine, 12 miles on foot on a cold January day. Fortunately for the mourners, partway along their route was a primitive tavern that welcomed all comers. The funeral procession halted here. It was decided by everyone that it was a terrible bone-chilling, bitter cold day, and they'd all be the better for a good bracer, to put strength in their hearts and lighten their steps for the rest of the journey. But they hadn't been in the tavern for very long, but a violent storm broke out. It was agreed by everyone that they could go no further. The horse was sheltered in the stable. The corpse and the casket were brought in and set on a couple of barrels by the tavern door. The tavern was dark, dreary, and dismal, and to put a little life into the place, The Floyd Bowl was passed round time and again. It wasn't long before the proceedings became quite raucous, indeed quite bawdy. Well, could a little mirth do any harm on such a sad occasion as this? Certainly the corpse wouldn't object. Why, if Pat O'Shea hadn't been dead, he'd have been the liveliest man there. Someone, when there was a lull in the conversation, brought out a fiddle, and they all began to sing all the old sea songs. You couldn't have asked for a merrier company. Someone called out, "Let's be having a dance," and the fiddler struck up a lively tune, and every man of them was on his feet a-jiggin'. Outside, the wind shrieked and howled, but inside was joy unspeakable. You'd almost think the fellers had forgotten all about the funeral. So intent did they seem on seizing time and mirth by the throat. But in their reckless hilarity, one of them, perhaps not quite as light on his feet by this time as he might usually be, stumbled and tripped and fell against the barrels by the door. The flimsy casket broke open and unceremoniously decanted the corpse onto the floor. At this gruesome spectacle, a hush fell over the entire company, excepting for Patrick Ryan, who yelled out, "Boys, oh boys, will you look at that? Old Pat hisself's come out for a dance." This irreverent witticism set them all to laughing. They gathered Pat up and put him back in the box and bound it round with rope, and the frolic went on. The next day the storm had subsided, but there was so much snow that the route was almost impassable. Still, they'd come to bury their friend, and bury him they would. They set off along the road, but trudging through the snow was too difficult, and they soon turned off into the woods. There, they brushed away the snow, they dug a hole, and they planted Pat deep in the arms of Mother Earth. Deep enough, they hoped, that the animals wouldn't dig him up. The next day, they all returned to their homes, not one of them a wiser or sadder man than he'd been when he left. But they all agreed on one thing. Old Pat O'Shea had been given as fine and rousing a send-off as he deserved.
I think I might have been happy to be part of that procession. Thank you, Betty, and thank you, Angelica. We've been talking with storytellers Angelica Otwell and Betty Bennett, who will be performing with the Peterborough Storytellers on World Storytelling Day on Sunday, March 20th in Campbellford. We'll learn more about this after we take a short break.